At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
Why wait until Friday to start your weekend?
Go ahead, start right now.
You're thirsty now, and 93.7 The Ticket is here to help you stock up.
Just in time for the weekend when I like to hit the clubs.
Time to broaden your horizons and try some new wine and beer. It's Thirsty Thursday with Kevin Meyer from Meyer's Cork and Bottle.
That's one.
Audible. Called an audible.
I did. Check this out. Oh, that's double beer cans.
Oh, double dub, Kevin.
No wine today. You know why?
There's no whining and winning.
There's no whining and winning. And generally, there's not a lot of wine at tailgates. So it's game day, baby. So I'm bringing some game day fare, and I'm juiced, and I can't wait to, I'm going to have to go mow or something just to burn some time because 8 o'clock kickoff on a Thursday night. There's going to be a lot of tired Husker fans rolling into work tomorrow morning.
That's where we were at with our conversation with our text line, is the waiting is by far the worst part. Obviously, you're playing Stockboy Day because it's Thursday. I assume that's
right.
Business as usual.
Absolutely.
But when you get off, I mean, are you one of those people who the minutes feel like hours for until kickoff, or are you passing the time as normal as possible?
I will drive myself crazy if I don't try to find something for myself to do. That's why I said I'm probably going to have to go mow or something.
I played Tom Petty 3 times.
Oh, the waiting is the hardest part.
I was just at home. I'm going, this is tough.
Yeah. I don't know. We do have, what time's the Boise State game on? The Fighting Chinandis.
That's coming up here in about 27 minutes. Yeah, that's okay. 4:30 Central kickoff.
So that's perfect. So you can tune in Boise State. That'll kill some time. You know, check out our guy Eric Chinander on the defensive sideline. Support a former Husker coach and a great guy.
For a guy with a nickname Chins, I only ever saw one from him.
You only saw one chin?
One chin. No, double chin.
It was the beard.
It was the beard.
Oh, he had a bit of a tavern tumor around the waist. I can tell you that. But great guy, good friend of mine. And in fact, the shirt that I'm wearing was gifted to me by him when he left to get the Boise State job and moved to Idaho. His wife, Meg, brought me like a rack of unused Husker clothing that he just had sitting around. I was like, you're the man. Thank you.
That's a pretty cool flex, Uncle Kev.
Yeah, well, thanks. But he was a good golfing buddy. And you know,
golfing buddy because of the company or because of the game?
Oh, his company is probably better than his game. But
fair,
interesting dude. So every time we hung out, we never once talked sports. Never once. He's a big music guy, and we shared a lot of the same interest in music. I'm a music nerd too, and he was a big wine guy. And so Hello. We would talk wine, grilling, music, fishing, you know, just all that kind of stuff, golf. But never once talk football.
What was his palate for wine?
He's a big cab guy. Oh, yeah. Sure. Oh, yeah. So, yeah, we had a lot in common. And I still text him here and there.
Nice. So. Well, good luck to Coach Chins and the Bronx tonight. Let's dive into this first beer. What you got for us?
So this is the Dear Old Nebraska Brew, which is done by Zipline right here in good old Lincoln, Nebraska. And it benefits the University Foundation. And so proceeds of that go to benefit the University Foundation. This beer is available at Memorial Stadium on game day, or will be, I should say. And it's just an easy drinking beer. Comes in a 16-ounce can. It's got all the Husker colors on there. It supports the Alumni Association. I keep saying the foundation. It's the Alumni Association that it supports, and which is big for the university. So we want to support them and drink a Nebraska product. And it's a great tailgating beer. Just super easy to drink. Tastes like beer.
It's a beer. It's a beer kind of day. And that's exactly what this is. This is simple. It's clean. It's refreshing. You can't say anything bad about it.
And it's local.
Can I raise my glass for something sidebar?
Did the Cowboys do it?
I'm raising a glass, Kevin, to the evil empire trading Micah Parsons to the Green Bay Packers.
Oh, they did.
Raise a glass.
Yes.
Raise a glass. Wow. The Cowboys are going to cowboy. Oh, man.
That is the best news I've heard all day. Wow. So, fun fact you don't know about Uncle Kev is that Green Bay is my pro team. And I'll tell you why. So, back when I didn't really have a pro team, I would just root for proximity. So, if the Broncos were playing, I'd root for Denver. If the Vikings were playing, I'd root for Minnesota. If the Packers were playing, if the Bears were playing, et cetera. And back then, they were all in the same division. So once they got into a divisional play, I was like, ooh, I'm going to have to choose a team. Mm. Well, they had just traded for Amon Green. And so they had Amon Green and Brett Favre as a quarterback. And who didn't love watching Brett Favre play? And the joy
Chicago
for the
Bears.
The Chicago Bears did not. But Detroit, I mean,
Lions, they didn't like.
Just the joy of how we played the game. And it was just, you know, and so I was like, I'm going to be a Packers fan for those two reasons. And so it sort of stuck. And so props to Amon Green for making me a Packer fan.
He made a lot of folks Green Bay Packer fans. And I can now fully celebrate Micah Parsons as a human being now that he is no longer part of the evil empire.
Right. Well, and he was supposed to, he looked long and hard at being a Husker before he committed to Penn State.
He was doing things as a wide receiver that other wide receivers couldn't do. And let's not forget, this dude is playing stand-up outside back or defensive end in the NFL, and he was playing wide receiver better than any of the wide receivers at Nebraska Friday Night
Lights. In the Friday Night Lights camp, yeah. Yep. My son was at that camp, but I think it was a year later, and it was pretty cool.
The contract details are actually official. The Packers and Parsons have already reached an agreement on a 4-year, $188 million contract, including $120 million fully guaranteed at signing, making him the highest paid non-quarterback in NFL history.
Pay the man. Good job, Green Bay.
Got paid.
Get that money. Get that money.
Hey, well, I'm glad they didn't try to shortchange him. The thing about Green Bay, it's difficult because the team is owned by the city of Green Bay. It's not owned by a billionaire owner. And so you can actually buy stock in the Green Bay Packers. Now, it doesn't get you any dividends or anything like that, but it does help fund the team and $180 million contracts.
Well, we know that the Packers fans enjoy themselves some beer,
yes,
very generally speaking.
Indeed.
So Packers fans, you raise your cup, you have fun. What is the drink of choice in Texas? Are they beer people? Are they brown liquor people? What does Texas do to get
are brown liquor people, bro.
Tequila.
A lot of distilleries there. Tito's Vodka is made in Texas.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
Margaritas tend to fall into one side of it.
Yeah. Shiner Bock is big in Texas.
All things.
You know, I'll have to...
Shout out to Dr. Seuss over at the football program. She's a Boots and Bourbon lady. So
One of my very best friends, Jay Jeffers, shout out Jay Jeffers. He grew up in Lubbock. Went to college in Lubbock, grew up in Roswell, New Mexico.
Ah.
And
Area 51 type stuff.
Yeah, exactly. But lived in Dallas for 20 some years, and he married my wife's best friend from high school and college. And so we've become good buddies. So I'll have to ask him what the beverage of choice for the Texans is, Texan people is, and I will report
most of
back.
Most of the Texans games that Becky and I went to when we lived in Houston, walking through the parking lot, you were going to get tequila. You were going to get tequila and whiskey.
Yeah.
That walking through beer was just a chaser, just cause.
Right.
But yeah, you were going to get. As a matter of fact, they would throw you margaritas. They would shake them up right there on the spot. So,
Even a shake, not even a premix. They're mixing.
No, they're mixing. They're mixing. They wouldn't, sir. We wouldn't dare.
Westy and Money G say, shout out Lone Star in terms of Texas beer.
Yeah. I haven't, that used to be available here. I haven't seen it in quite some time. But what are we talking about Texas for?
Well, the Cowboys fans, the Mavs fans are having one.
That's how we got
into heck of a year. You trade Luka Doncic to LA, top five player in the NBA.
Right.
You trade Micah Parsons, arguably a top five player in the NFL, to Green Bay. And let's not pretend like there's no history between the Mavs and the Lakers and the Cowboys and the Packers.
That is brutal.
Yeah,
that is brutal.
I don't know.
Des Bryant right now is just throwing a tantrum.
Well, did he catch it? That's the real question.
Yeah, that part.
Did Des catch it? Our resident Packers fan, Mississippi Mud Dog, says, go Pack, go. We are now on the clock. 4-year window. Got to win a Super Bowl to make it count. Of course, Aaron Rodgers only got the one Super Bowl during his time in Green Bay. Going to be really interested to see if Micah Parsons can be that difference maker DP to push the Packers over the edge and at least get one in Green Bay over the next 4 years.
Never beat the Huskers, though.
True.
Never beat the
Huskers. He did not beat the Huskers, did he? So, should we move on to our next beverage?
You know what? I feel like we probably should.
Well, here's the kicker is that we had to fill in a little bit because these were tall and then we're only dividing them by three, the Zipline Daryl Nebraska Brew. So now we are on Garage Beer, and it's their lime version. Now, you, me, and everyone else is probably having Kelsey brother fatigue. and
Who?
You know,
Chad and Chris, I never hear enough about those guys.
The one married to Taylor Swift or whatever. But all kidding aside, the reason I brought it is because they played for the University of Cincinnati. So that's our opponent this evening. And they just came out with a new version of their beer. And it's the classic lime garage beer. And so I thought, let's do the Daryl Nebraska Brew first. And then we will pit it against the lime garage beer and then decide who's going to win this football game. So give it a taste. Let me know what you think.
You can smell the lime. It's not overpowering, but you get a little whiff of it. It's natural.
Yeah.
Ish.
Ish. Natural-ish.
This is an Iowa offense.
I love the analogies. This will lull you to sleep.
I can't. I keep waiting for something to happen, but
this is punting on fourth and one.
this is
from the opponent's 36.
From the opponent's 36.
Cold weather passing offense in a windy stadium. This is like.
I love. This is milk the clock. Yeah,
I like it. The more I drink it. Prevent defense.
It wears on you, right? You just go, we're going to end up at 9 wins. it's fair. Right?
And what about it?
Like, I'm not going to look for it, but if it's what's available, I'll drink it and be okay.
Right. And I mean, it is very drinkable. It does have a hint of lime flavor, natural-ish. It doesn't blow you out of the water in terms of its depth and complexity, but here's the thing. It's not supposed to. It's called garage beer.
Just like Cincinnati tonight, it doesn't finish. It just doesn't finish.
Oh, DP, it's been too long since you've sat in on Thirsty Thursday. I love the analogies.
I'll be here.
I think if we are judging the quality of the beer, I'm taking Dear Old Nebraska Brew. Mm-hmm.
Me too. Yeah, I don't think that's even a contest. I want to say that's at least a 2-score spread. On the over-under differential between the two beers. But they are both worth trying. And in my efforts to remain topical sometimes outweigh my efforts to retain quality. and sometimes you just need something to drink. And we've got Dear Old Nebraska Beer pitted against Garage Beer Lime. And let's go at it and see where the chips fall.
Listen, the win is in good company. A Husker win and beer.
Here's what I would like to see. I want to see a team that looks like they're about business. I don't want to see the guys coming out doing backflips. I don't want to see them burning their, doing an adrenaline dump, just getting out of the tunnel. I want to see them showing up, looking serious, looking mean. We're all about business. Look on their face in that first series. I want them to let Cincinnati know they're in for a long day, and that would make me happy.
You're so Nebraska. Listen, they could moonwalk out there if they put up a 44-0 win. They could moonwalk. They could do the robot after. If they shut out Cincinnati, I don't care if they do backflips the entirety of the field.
I feel you. But what I want to do is let your actions on the field dictate that. Then once you've shown that you can, you have the right, you have to earn your backflip. You have to earn your moonwalk. You have to, in my opinion, you go out there and do all that and you lay an egg. No, thank you.
No, I put the win first.
Absolutely.
Yeah, give me the performance. That other stuff is other stuff.
I am a substance over style type of person. Don't get me wrong. I like some style, but you got to have the substance first.
Mr. Big Cap guy.
I never danced before I scored. I only danced after.
Bingo. You earned your right to dance. That's what I'm saying. Earn your right to dance.
I only bat drop after it lands. I only bat flip when it lands. When it lands in the seat, then I bat flip. We can do the rest.
The clock strikes zero, backflip all you want, as long as your number's bigger than theirs.
Yes, sir.
Dear Old Nebraska Brew is today's get down to business beer. But if you're just out and about, what is your, okay, let's just get down to business, get something to drink beer.
Oh, just like I'm having a business meeting type beer?
Not even business meeting, just like something's got to get done. You know, drinking is the business. Let's get down to the business. Just going to get a down to business beer.
What I've been drinking lately is the Cross Strains Blue Can Lager. And it's just, again, it's just a working man's beer. But it has a little bit of complexity in there that makes you know that you're drinking a beer. And so I believe it's a Vienna style, if that's what they call it. We did it on the air one time. Mm-hmm. That's kind of my go-to beer. Wine, if I'm drinking a white wine, it is Ferrari Carano Chardonnay. My wife and I have been on a kick for that for quite some time. And that's kind of our cocktail wine while we're making dinner. And then when we get into the prime New York strip or the tenderloin on the grill, then we're switching to a good Napa Cab. And that's a good day at the Meyer House.
I love it. Hizzle Bear wants to know. He says, hey, Uncle Kev, I'm cooking a lot of wings this weekend for a baby shower. Can you give me your go-to wings that you would make for a baby shower?
So here's the way I like to make them. So I'll take a big gallon Ziploc bag and I'll put in olive oil and I'll put in apple cider vinegar. Then I'll add some of the buffalo sauce, salt and pepper, and just let it sit in there. You can let it sit in there overnight. A couple hours will do you just fine. And then on like an indirect grill, so a pellet grill, a smoker, something along those lines. So what you want is indirect heat. And you let them get crispy on there. And then what you do, you take your buffalo sauce, you put it in a big saucepan, and you pour, I'd say a cup, cup and a half, get that sauteing. And so you got a nice little bubble going. Then you pull the wings directly from the grill, put it in the sauteing sauce, you toss that around, and that'll allow that sauce to start to caramelize and stick to those wings. So it's not just drippy, it's got some viscosity to it. And then you just set that aside, let it rest a little bit. If you like a little ranch on the side, a little blue cheese on the side.
What do you like on the side?
I'm a blue cheese guy. But either way, I like them just as is too, just with, you know, in the sauce. But you can also do, if you want to mix it up a little bit, you can do a little Asian zing. You could do a little barbecue, you know, if you want to mix it up. And so you'd have to get a couple of different pans going for your saute, but that's kind of fun too, because everyone has their own taste, but mostly I'm a classic buffalo guy.
How long did it take you to get to that recipe that you found works for you?
All my recipes, it's not even a recipe. It's just trial and error. And then I did take a cooking class, a French classic cooking class. And one of the things that the chef that was instructing said that sort of resonated with me is that cooking isn't about recipes. It's about techniques. So once you start to learn a few of the basic chefing techniques, it can apply to virtually everything. And so I just applied that technique to wings, and they're outstanding like that. Nice and crispy, fall off the bone, but with some texture.
So I take it then you fall in the camp that cooking is more art and baking is more science.
Yeah, that's fair. Baking is very much about exact ingredients and more science. And then you also have to worry about like yeast and ferments and, you know, sugar contents and burning and, you know, that sort of thing. So yeah, that is to me more science, whereas cooking is more art. Again, it's about more techniques.
We're here with Kevin Meyer, Meyer's Cork and Bottle. Of course, Kevin, you mentioned that the Dear Old Nebraska Brew is available in Memorial Stadium. But we didn't want
and
people...
And benefits the Alumni Association.
And benefits the Alumni Association. But instead of benefiting nameless, faceless people, you can benefit local business. You can benefit Kevin. You can benefit Joe. Like going down to Meyer's Cork and Bottle. Why should people get their beer at 13th and South instead of Memorial Stadium?
Well, that's why you're making the big bucks, Austin, because that was an awesome transition right there. here's the thing. We're Lincoln's oldest bottle shop. And we've been on that corner since 1965. It's been in my family since 1978. And there's a reason for it. It's because my business model is having hands down the most knowledgeable staff in town and providing hands down the best service in town. You can buy beer everywhere. You can buy beer at Walgreens. You can buy beer at U-Stop. You can buy beer at every grocery store. That you can't turn the corner and see a place that doesn't sell beer. So why do you come to see Meyer's Cork and Bottle? It's because we've got the best service in town, one of the best selections in town, and the most knowledgeable staff. And it's a cool environment. It's kind of a throwback. And so it just, to me, it's a fun place to go to work every day. I've been doing it 20, 25 years, and I still love going to work every day, and I still learn new things every day. So, part of the fun for me is I feel like I'm an educator. So I get to pass what I learn along to the customer, and it makes it more than just something to buy or something to drink, because you learn about the history behind a certain product or the family that made it work or where it comes from or why it pairs well with what it does. And that's all stuff that you can only get at Meyer's.
Even if you're going to drink at the stadium, pregame a little bit. Stop by Meyer's Cork and Bottle. There's a reason. It's been there since 65 and Kevin's family for that long as well. 13th and South, easy to get to, easy to get out of, all of the above, easy to get lost in the best way. And of course, Thirsty Thursdays with us here on The Ticket, Thursdays at 4. Kevin, as always, appreciate it. Any final words of advice, any final predictions for Nebraska-Cincinnati tonight?
Final prediction, I'm going to say 35-24 Huskers, and go Big Red. And thank you both. Thank you, DP, and thank you, Austin, for having me.
Pleasure is all ours. We'll go to break. More Old School on the other side.
Back to Old School with Foreman and Orman on 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com.
All right, welcome back into Old School, switching over a little bit of musical chairs here as we get ready for the A1 Automotive Ticket Tailgate pregame show. That one, of course, going to start at 5 o'clock, but we got Tristan Gomez in here to my left, Harrison Arnes on the ones and twos, and this is still Old School, so we want to shout out our sponsors. Shout out to Heartland of Nebraska Windows, locally owned and operated with their own team of installers. Visit heartlandofnebraskawindows.com to learn more about their free estimates in all vinyl triple pane windows. With that being said, Tristan, how's it going? It's officially game day. I know we've talked a lot about it over the week, but how you doing on this Thursday?
I'm good. No complaints on game day. Besides wanting it to be kickoff already, I think that's the only thing. Just got a few hours left, but I'm ready to see the Scurs out there.
Yeah, for the wrong reasons. Nebraska hasn't had a ton of night games lately, so we're usually... I know it's also a Thursday, so it feels extra early, but yeah, it's a little more rare that we have to wait this long. Again, 8 o'clock kickoff, at least here Central Time. But yeah, I'm super amped for it. Shout out to the hype video that the Husker football put up today.
Yeah, that was sick.
Did you catch Cincinnati's?
I did not know. Did they release one? How was it? Did
not
even
great.
Compare?
Yeah, not great. So. It definitely made ours look like infinitely better. But if you guys want to join in, we're just going to be talking college football, Nebraska versus Cincinnati coming up here. 402-464-5685. That is the Starter Heyman text line, Facebook, YouTube, X, Allo channel 961. And like I said, we'll go across all of college football for this official week one. And you're a Packers fan, so we'll just get over this as well. Micah Parsons, NFL.
Let's go. Insane contract.
What was it? 188
million, 120 guaranteed. Highest non-paid quarterback in NFL history. Rightfully so.
I mean, how dangerous does this make the Packers? I mean, was that the missing link or?
I think so. I mean, I think they haven't had a wide receiver one established. So that was one spot, but finally drafted a first round wide receiver, got arguably one of the best, top five defensive players in the entire league. yeah. on your team and just a game wrecker in that fashion. So this could be the piece that really just sets the Packers apart.
NFC North has just been busy.
So
this
busy.
Year, it has been, you know, with the Lions, the Lions had to shake up a little bit, losing all the coordinators. But then, of course, the Packers, like all four of these teams in the NFC North feels like it's their time to strike. And it's creating just a incredibly tense situation. How many teams in the NFC North get to the playoffs next year? Take a wild swing right now.
I'm kind of thinking of them as similar to what we've seen in the AFC North in the past, where we've seen three teams, where we've seen like the Steelers, Bengals, Ravens, like all mm-hmm. of them making it in. I could see, if I had to take my pick right now, I think the Bears are making the playoffs this year. I'm a big fan of Ben Johnson and Caleb Williams. And then I got the Packers, obviously.
Yeah.
And then I think the Lions aren't going to skip a beat. It's going to be a little bit different in the offense, but they still have the weapons for it. So I got three out of the NFC North.
Vikings odd man out?
I think the Vikings are the odd man out.
Yeah. I do too. I'm intrigued. We'll see what the McCarthy looks like when he finally gets a shot. But yeah, oddly enough, I'm in that exact same order. And we got NFL come sooner or later as well. And that will also be on the brick and mortar right here on 93.7, the ticket. But that's all we're going to go with. I really don't want to talk about your Packers too much more. But if you're a Packers fan, enjoy the day. You guys got Mike Parsons, an incredible pickup. You're paying a lot of money. Again, what was it, 126
guaranteed? 120 guaranteed, yeah, which is unreal in the NFL. And, I mean, yeah, we don't have to talk about it too much. It's Husker game day, and Micah Parsons is a Packer. What a day.
It is a great day, especially if you're a Packers fan. All right, Cincinnati, Scott Satterfield, the Bearcats. Neutral site game. Make of that what you will. It's going to be a lot of red. Husker Nation, give me just your thoughts on, you know, what is your expectation for Nebraska? Not necessarily, you know, the point total, but what are you hoping to see?
I think I really hope to see Nebraska just dictate the game. I think in past years, we've seen the Nebraska offense kind of, you know, have its ebbs and flows. It's mm-hmm. maybe the most beautiful drive we've ever seen, and the next drive we're going three and out. I would love for Dana Holgorsen to just kind of establish what he wants to do, whether it's, all right, give us the ball for 3 minutes, we're going to go down and score, and then we're going to play defense, get the ball right back and score again. Or it's, yeah, we'll drive down the field for 8-9 minutes, score a touchdown, and then your offense has to respond. If you don't, then we're going to do the same thing again. So I think that's what I hope to see, is just Nebraska just dictate just the time of possession the entire game and almost just put the pressure on Cincinnati.
Yeah, you know, it sounds like such a cliche answer. I just want a confident team out there. I want a team that, you know, if we're going to be talking this much in the offseason, and to be fair, I'm not like they're talking like they're crazy, but they're confident in themselves and rightfully should be. You got to come out there and kind of set the tone. It doesn't mean hopping off the bus and screaming on the top of your lungs, letting everybody know how fired up you are. It's, yeah, if that's how you get fired up, great, but make sure when that clock starts that you're locked, level, ready to go, and we don't get too ahead of ourselves. Because, you know, Chance of Brewington, shout out to him. We used to have a show with the former Husker tight end not too long ago, and that was one of the things he talked about a lot, was those home games. He had to figure out how to settle them himself down. So he's like, you get, especially at home, and again, at Arrowhead, it's going to feel a lot like home, I'd imagine. It's going to get so loud in there, and if you just go purely off of general, you're going to start making some mistakes just because you're just trying to fly all over the place. Which is better than being unsure, but there is kind of that balance you need to have. So I'm hoping Nebraska can just be confident, because again, once that energy wears off too, once you're, you know, 5 minutes into the second quarter, like, okay, where's your momentum? Where's your energy coming from now? It's got to come internally. So that's the biggest thing for me, is I just kind of want to see a team that looks like they're more veteran. They look older. They look like they have a culture and a known identity about them and not so frantic. I'm optimistic, though. I like everything I've been hearing. I know I've said that a lot, but for a team that's kind of been joked on for saying this is the year, I mean, a lot of signs say maybe not college football playoffs, I'm not saying national championship, but another step towards progress. What is a successful season as we're starting the season off today? What would you consider successful under Matt Rhule year three?
I mean, as we start the season today, I think it's just winning the games that you're expected to win. I think for the past few years, we've seen Nebraska almost play down to some competition. This is a battle between I'd say middle of the pack Big Ten in Nebraska, middle of the pack Big 12 Cincinnati. And in reality, I think the Big Ten is better. I think a lot of people would agree with that. Mm-hmm. So I think Nebraska has an opportunity to go out and show that today and just say, you know, I think the spread's 6.5.
Yeah, it's still sitting around that.
I think Nebraska has an opportunity to win by way more than that and kind of establish themselves as just a team that we... Doesn't matter who's on the other sideline. We're going to go. We're going to play our type of football. Once the fourth quarter comes, we're not going to have to worry about a one score game because we're already going to be scores ahead and our defense is still going to be flying around. For a season, though, I think 8 or 9 wins, I think, is huge. I think that's a step up. And that's 8 or 9 regular season wins, getting into the bowl game and then expecting another win in that. So I think that's just another step up. And Matt Rhule has consistently kind of shown that, all right, we're going to continue to get better and better and better. And like you said, there's been a lot of hype, and rightfully so. I think this is a program that's trending in the right direction. And if they can secure that 8-9 win spot again, kind of how we were in that Bo Pelini era, where that's just the standard, that's a very successful season for the Huskers.
Yeah, and you know, we got to start 1-0, but I think we're all kind of around that ballpark. I'd be curious to see how that number moves as the season goes on. It's always kind of funny. It's like people, you know, will say, I think we'll be 3-0, and then we'll go 3-0, and it's like, okay, you know what? I'm thinking 11 wins now.
Yeah.
So we'll see. Obviously, we'll find out a lot tonight, but the big thing for me is how that this game starts out. I'm going to be awfully curious to see how is Cincinnati going to want to counter what Nebraska does. We do get an unknown texter as well, talking about Husker football, just all caps, run the damn ball, be the bigger, stronger, faster team, just freaking do it. And that is kind of the mindset of a lot of Husker fans. I mean, they're frothing at the mouth for it, but in a way, it's kind of true. Mm-hmm. You know, I can't think of a whole lot more excuses as to why you can't go out there and steamroll some teams now. Steamroll a university that doesn't have lucky enough to have the resources that you do, isn't lucky enough to have the facilities, the, you know, the money to go recruit NIL talent,
the fan base,
you know, a head coach right now, where nothing against Scott Satterfield, but right now he's kind of battling some demons trying to get the fan base to buy under him. Right now, Matt Rhule, the fan base is 100% lockstep in you. I mean, you got, you know, people, you hear silver tongue all the time with Matt Rhule. Like, people kind of fall into trance when that guy speaks. You got the entire fan base around him. Not a lot of reasons to say why you can't do it here at Nebraska. For Cincinnati, you've maybe got some excuses out there, but at the same time, you got nothing to lose. So that makes me a little bit dangerous. If you're Scott Satterfield, how would you want to attack Nebraska? What's your game plan on defense to stop year two of Dylan Raiola, knowing that we got some good weapons at wide receiver? Me and DP were talking about yesterday, Cincinnati, one of their best features on defense is they do get a really good nose tackle, maybe a Sunday guy. We got a new center in Jenkins.
Yeah.
That's, you know, probably going to have to put two bodies on that tackle the entire time. All that being said, you're Scott Satterfield. How would you attack Dylan Raiola in this offense?
I think just based on what we saw from Dylan last year is you just have to put as much pressure on him as possible and give him different looks. I think Dylan is one of the top quarterbacks in the country when he gets comfortable. And so it's just about making him uncomfortable. But I think, you know, Dylan's also learned from his freshman year and understands, like, all right, people are going to try to do that. How am I going to respond and maybe not try so hard to make the big play? Because I think Nebraska does have some weapons on the outside that they can air it out to. And then Emmett Johnson, I am expecting him to be player of the game. I think he's going to have a big game. His 1,000-yard season is going to start tonight.
I would love that so much.
I would love that. And so I think it's just putting different looks on this offensive line that is somewhat new, and just trying to put as much pressure on Dylan to maybe get out of his, you know, characteristics and try to have him have to do something special in order to make some plays.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's funny going back to that unknown texture. It's like, run the damn ball. I mean, it really is just a very Nebraska to the core thing, and there's a reason for it. Like, we love that stuff. You know, I'm on Green, Mike Rozier. I mean, the running back. Yeah, I mean, that's another thing. Yeah, if you guys haven't tuned in, me and DP have been talking a lot, like one-on-one late at night, and we were going through, someone put a list out there, you know, when are the running back used? For a time there, there's no question. University of Nebraska is where the elite backs are, and then obviously Oklahoma has some good backs, and you can kind of start bouncing around as the arrows go by. But, I mean, if we can get back to having a just dominant threat, that can be Emma Johnson, you know, hoping he stays healthy. That offensive line, if those guys are, you know, up to what everyone's been saying in the offseason, then you got Dylan Raiola who takes that next step. This offense can be really lethal. Not just because, I mean, everyone's got to do the role, but the balance. Mm-hmm. I think you could have really, really good balance on this year's roster. And, you know, last year it was kind of on a pendulum on it. You know, how much are we going to pass? How much are we going to throw? And then, ironically enough, as the year went on, it felt like we were getting away from the run. Mm-hmm. And then Dana took over, and obviously we almost implemented it. Felt like some more. What's the split offense you thinking? You know, with Dana and this squad, 50-50, 60-40 between run and pass?
I'm honestly, I think I'm going to go 50-50, if not running the ball a little bit more. And that's what I also what I'm hoping for. I mean, like you said, Nebraska used to be just RBU and it wasn't even a question. Mm-hmm. And I think if you can establish that and, you know, hopefully we're seeing first downs where Emmett's getting, you know, 8-9 yards and we're second and short. And then we can have Dylan maybe air it out a little bit or, you know, throw the ball downfield to get it to those weapons and have some big plays. Because I think last year that was maybe the difference mm-hmm. and how Nebraska got stuck maybe in a one-dimensional offense is, you know, they were running the ball in first down, not getting many yards. Running the ball in second down, not getting many yards. And they're like, all right, now we have to pass as much as we can. So I think if they can split it, you know, 50-50, and you have arguably one of the best running backs in the Big Ten, get him the rock. Get him the rock.
Yeah, and we got, I think there's just a lot of people that are really rooting for Emmett Johnson this mm-hmm. year. It's a little bit of a panic attack when it felt like we were going to lose him. Mm-hmm. It wasn't like an under 24-hour turnaround. It's kind of like one toe in the pool and out.
Yeah.
If I remember correctly, you know, shout out to him. I got no problem with guys want to see what their value is in the NIL world, but huge that he's going to be back. Offensive line's still going to be curious, though. Mm-hmm. I know you got some new faces in there. Elijah Pritchett. We talked about it before. Who's that left tackle? Haven't seen the latest depth chart. The last one out there was is between three guys. So we're waiting there. And I'm going to mention it. You know, it's going to be one of those games. You're going to want to watch the center battle. Mm-hmm. You know, what does that look like? Are they sending two on that tackle every time? But I think Scott Satterfield, you're right. And I think they're going to try to attack Dylan Rayl early. Mm-hmm. I don't want to be hanging back whatsoever. No one. I think it's pretty well known at this point. Everyone's been talking about it. Dylan Rayl, his best success is against zones. His weakness is against man. Cincinnati doesn't like to run man whatsoever. They run zone pretty much all the time, and I doubt that changed over the summer. So with that being said, it's, you know, what you want to do is you want to immediately make Dylan Rayl uncomfortable because, you know, listen, if we sit back in a zone and we're not putting pressure on him, he's going to find the holes. Mm-hmm. I'm expecting a ton of pressure from Cincinnati all game long. Do you trust the offensive line or the running backs? That's the other part. You know, I like Emmett Johnson as a, you know, protection in the backfield. The other guys, I haven't really seen him. You know, is Nelson, is he good in pass protection? If Cincinnati is going to bring pressure, or is it Mosey, third stringer right now? How is he going to do in pass protection? If Cincinnati is going to bring some blitzes, there's going to be the offensive line getting tested. But also, you know, we still got some other running backs that are going to see the game that we haven't got a ton of eyes on yet.
Yeah. I completely agree, and I think it's going to come down to the offensive line and just the line of scrimmage, and that's on both sides of the ball, for the defensive line and the offensive line. And I think just making sure that we get Dylan the time. If Dylan has time tonight, I think he's going to be lights out, because we have some new weapons out there that, you know, guys haven't had a whole bunch of film on, especially in a Husker jersey. So I think it's going to be a great battle with that nose guard and a new center, but I got my trust in Dylan, and I think he's going to, you know, look very mature tonight, just coming off that freshman season and understanding, all right, when's the time to maybe force a play, or when's the time to maybe, you know, throw it away, or even just take a sack, or, you know, not try to, you know, make the big play all the time. So I'm looking forward to it. And I think Dylan and Emmett in that backfield are going to have a lot of fun tonight.
I think so as well. Since we got the pregame show coming up at 5:00, it's going to be loaded. This will be our last time on air. We got one more segment on the other side. Score prediction, Nebraska versus Cincinnati. What do you got?
I'm going to go 31-10, Nebraska.
I
think the defense is going to be lights out tonight. I think that's going to be the big focus of tonight. And I think hopefully progressively throughout the game, Holgorsen just continues to just, you know, run a clinic, and Nebraska is moving the ball efficiently.
I'm hoping that. I like your spread a lot more. Mine's 34-21. I think the over is 54.5. So just at 55 point total, right at that over. Also having Nebraska cover that spread if it stays at 6.5. I mean, give me a win. 1 point or by 30. 30 is going to be more fun, but I just want to win the absolute most. With that being said, we do got one more segment with me and Tristan. We're going to just switch over off of Husker football and talk about the rest of the college football slate for week one. And then again, at 5:00, you guys will be joined for the A1 Automotive Ticket Tailgate pregame show as we get ready for the Cincinnati Bearcats. Don't go anywhere. We got plenty here left right here. Old School, Tristan and Harrison Arntz.
Back to Old School with Foreman and Orman on 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com.
All right, welcome back in. Final segment of Old School before we get to the A1 Automotive Ticket Tailgate pregame show. And we don't got a ton of time here left, so I'll be quick and short with it. And again, you guys will be joined by the guys down there in Kansas City. Blur Events tailgate. And then, of course, DP, Terrell Farley, Austin Orman, those guys will be down there at Memorial Stadium. But got some bills to pay real quick. Tristan, I'll let you do that.
Yeah, absolutely. Love Omaha just rebranded as Love Nebraska. Get your tickets for your chance to see Olympians, national champions, and, of course, former Huskers take the court for Love Nebraska.
All right, let's do some picks here and get out of here. It swings at the table for the other guys. Other matchups, big ones. Probably this might be the biggest like pop off to start Saturday football I can remember since being alive. Number one Texas, number three Ohio State. The line is Ohio State favored 1.5.
I got Ohio State to cover. I think it's going to be a whoever of Arch Manning and Julian Sane makes the least amount of mistakes. Mm-hmm. I think that's who's going to win the game. I think it's going to be a defensive battle, and I got Ohio State at home.
I agree. I'm just going to go with the home team. Give me the home team. Manning's got a couple starts under his belt, but not in a game like this. So it's at the shoe. I'm going to feel safer with that. Let's do one more before we get out of here. LSU, Clemson, the other one I'm really excited for, looking forward to.
Similar. I think it's going to come down to quarterback play between Nussmeier and Klubnik.
Probably the best QB matchup.
100%. In week one. And I'm going to go with LSU. I think they're going to walk into the other Death Valley, and Brian Kelly's going to get a big win under his belt and show that the SEC is well above the ACC.
No shot. Dabo Sweeney, he called it undefeated season coming for the Clemson. I like it. That's going to be fun. I could tell you that one just feels like it's going to be an absolute shootout, but I like Clemson. I like the fact that they go for the high school kids. They draft them. They build them up. They develop them. They kind of stay away from that portal stuff. They're kind of one of the few schools doing it. We'll see. And they do got a ton of continuity coming back. So maybe it is finally paying off for Clemson. But we got to get out of here. Don't go anywhere, though. Again, you got that A1 Automotive Ticket Tailgate pregame show coming up next. That's Austin, or that's Tristan. I'm Harrison. Don't go anywhere. Pregame show coming up.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.